All right, welcome into the Calling It Podcast. We're going back to back. Had an episode yesterday, doing another episode today. There's so much going on in the world of sports. It's fantastic. My name is Alex Barth. As always, I'm joined by Alex Lebowitz. We are powered by the good folks at CLNS Media, who, by the way, have all of your NFL draft coverage. I'll be down at Gillette tonight along with Evan Lazar. You can check that all out on clnsmedia.com. Happy draft day. Alex Lebowitz, football back on the, not that it really ever left the front page, but for real, back on the front page today. It's a good day. It's a good morning.
It's a great day. This kind of signifies that the wheels are starting to spin with the NFL season. It's always exciting, even as a Patriots fan, when you have late picks. I think the NFL draft is, it's by far the best draft. You have sleeper picks. You have guys from college who were great in college, but don't have a lot of stock when it comes to, you know, how their game might translate to the NFL. So there's a lot of storylines to look for, a lot of players to look for, a lot of needs for a lot of different teams. And as always, there are going to be a ton of trades tonight. Leading into the draft.
This year especially, like, there's always a ton of trades, but this year has the potential to really, push that mark.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when you look at the number one pick and the Cardinals looking at a quarterback when they just drafted one in the first round last season, Josh Rosen. So a lot of drama, a lot of storylines, and it's definitely going to be a fun one.
Yeah, let's start with the Cardinals. And I just want to remind everybody, we talked about the Bruins Game 7 win yesterday. You can find that on our Twitter, at Calling the Podcast. We'll talk about the Celtics at some point this weekend. Probably going to drop that episode Sunday, whenever, before the game. But talking the NFL draft today, I want to start with the Arizona Cardinals. The rumor has been, since they hired Cliff Kingsbury, and it's really all based on one, you know, two-minute YouTube video of him saying 5 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it is, when he was at Texas Tech, that if he was an NFL coach and he had the first overall pick, he would take Kyler Murray. And now that's the situation. The Cardinals did invest pretty heavily, 10th overall pick and a quarterback last year in Josh Rosen, but that was different head coach, different, you know, management, different everything. The new group, the new regime is going to want their own guy. The expectation was Rosen will be traded at some point before the draft. Kyler Murray will be the first overall pick, and on we go. But here we are. It's 12:37 at the time we're recording this, and calling the curse, Rosen will probably get traded as soon as we're done with this. But, you know, we'll have a conversation, because it's true right now, 12:37, Josh Rosen is still an Arizona Cardinal, and we are 7.5 hours away from the NFL draft. And I know some people may say, oh, they can wait, they can trade Rosen later. You really can't do that. It's not fair to either player. And it's a bad idea for the Cardinals, too. They need to trade Rosen as soon as they can, if that's what they're going to do. And I guess this was the long way of saying, I'm not convinced Kyler Murray is going to be the top pick in the NFL draft tonight. I'm not. And I may get cold take the hell out of that. But as it stands right now, pending an Arizona Cardinals trade of Josh Rosen, I do not see how they can take Kyler Murray with the top pick in the draft tonight. Now, whether that means it's Bosa, whether that means it's Quinnen Williams, whatever, that's another conversation we can have. But I don't see Kyler Murray being the first overall pick tonight as long as Josh Rosen is on the Arizona Cardinals roster.
Yeah, so I don't think they should wait until the draft to trade Josh Rosen if they are planning on getting Kyler. Yeah, because the value would plummet.
Right, because everybody knows you have to trade him. Like, yeah. Right now you're looking, I think that, you know, not to make it too New England-centric, but the 32 for Rosen is a good deal. I think the Cardinals, that's as much as the Cardinals are going to get. I don't think it's a bad get. And, you know, the Patriots, Rosen's as good as any quarterback you're going to get at 32 in this draft.
Yeah, and I think
go ahead, well, sorry.
I think that also depends on, you know, where the Patriots, where Bill Belichick rates guys like Daniel Jones or Drew Lock. If he thinks that those guys might turn out to be good NFL quarterbacks, and it's a really difficult position to evaluate, then maybe he'll just go that route.
You have to remember how Belichick looks at value. He's not seeing this as Josh Rosen versus Drew Lock or Josh Rosen versus Daniel Jones or Josh Rosen versus Will Greer, and we'll talk about all those guys in a bit. The way he sees this is he can get a guy. He looks at it just in terms of raw value. Last year, Josh Rosen was valued as the 10th best pick in the NFL draft, right? The 10th best player available in that draft. If Belichick can get him for 32, he's going to do that. He's always done that. That's how he operates. He's getting a guy valued at 10 at 32. That's what he looks for. That's what he's going to try to do.
But it's not all about straight, you know, straight up trade value or where they were picked in the draft. I think the evaluation that matters is who's talented, who isn't, because the Patriots, they always have more undrafted guys than anyone in the NFL. They always, their late round picks succeed.
Right, but looking
usually
specifically
more so
at this pick, the way Belichick's going to see it, whoever he drafts at 32 is valued at 32, because 31 other, Belichick approaches the draft very literally. Yeah. Whoever he takes at 32 is valued at 32 because 31 other teams passed on that guy. Rosen is, in his mind, is valued at 10. So does but he take a guy whose value is 32, or does he use the 32nd pick to get the guy who's valued at 10? That's what he's going to try to do if he wants to go out and get Josh Rosen.
But doesn't it, I mean, it comes down to upside. Who does he? Because the Patriots' top 32 players is going to differ from what, you know, the draft turns out being like. I bet there's going to be a player picked, you know, at 15 or the top 20 who the Patriots have evaluated as a third round talent. So I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, true. I think it depends. Again, the standard for quarterback is going to differ from every other position as well. Belichick right. said it in the past, judging the passing game in college, judging quarterbacks is super difficult simply because it's a completely different game.
Well, that's part of the reason I think they'll like Rosen, is he ran as close to an NFL system at UCLA as you're going to see in college football.
Yeah, and so maybe they liked what they saw out of him last year in Arizona, even though he had a crap situation.
Right, you can't go, and I just, real quick, I know I keep interrupting you, I'm sorry.
No.
For all the people who want to bash Rosen and say, oh, look what he was in Arizona, he's clearly not good. That was one of the worst offensive lines I've seen in the last 10 years. Like, you cannot base your opinion on him of what you saw last year, because he was running for his life on every single play. I'm not saying that, you know, you should totally discount all of it, but get him behind a, you know, NFL offensive line, a legitimate offensive line, before you write him off for what you saw last year.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And Belichick will obviously take that into consideration.
Right. He's going to look more at the UCLA tape than the Arizona tape.
I don't know if it's even going to take that 32nd pick. If they trade a second and a fifth, or they don't have a fifth, but a second and a sixth, or a second and a fourth, that could do it as well.
Yeah, I think, and again, the longer you go, the longer the Cardinals draw this out. If their plan is indeed to take Kyler Murray, which we don't know that it is, but if that's their plan, then yeah, the longer you draw this out, the lower those offers are going to go.
Regardless of where, you know, Josh Rosen goes, it's clear the Patriots are going to make a bunch of moves. 12 picks. What is it? Six in the first three rounds.
Yeah, six in the first 101.
So, yes, which is a
and
great
then,
position.
Frankly, that number's probably going to go up, because I think they're trading down at 32. I do. I don't think they're picking tonight. It's the best way I've ever heard it described is being a Patriots fan. The first round of the draft is like being a Jewish kid on Christmas. Which is wildly accurate. It's the best description I've ever heard for it. They're going to trade down. We're probably all going to stay up till 12:30, except for you're probably going to go to bed.
I'm definitely not staying up for their pick. It's 11:30. They're not gonna pick
if you stay up for their pick, you're going to stay up for 36 straight hours, because they're not going to pick until tomorrow. I'm starting to think more and more, and this isn't any inside information. This is just an educated guess.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they're picking until tomorrow.
Well, Mike Reese, he had a tweet, and he's like, he averaged the length of the draft the past 3-4 years. And he said the ETA for when the Pats would pick, if they do indeed keep that 32nd.
Can
pick.
I guess before you say it?
Go for it.
12:38 AM.
No, too much. 11:25.
Okay. I thought it was going to be after midnight.
It's still 3.5 hours for 32 picks. Which
yeah, it's
is
not great.
A tad excessive. So,
well, they can really do the whole thing in 2.5 hours, but they have to wait for all the television broadcasts. Like, if you look at the rate guys are tipping picks and all of that, like, they can get the thing done 2.5-3 hours if they really wanted to.
Oh, of course. But there's
course,
a lot of
you know, ESPN ruins everything.
So do you think the Patriots, is there a possibility, you know, throw Josh Rosen out the window, is there a possibility that they trade for another or just a high quality player? Obviously, wide receiver is a position they need help at, tight end, defensive line. Would they make a, do you see them making a deal during the draft for an actual player already in the NFL?
I mean, I could certainly see it. I've said for a couple months now that I, among the things I want to see them come out of tonight with two pass catchers, And I've kind of been blending the needs at wide receiver and tight end. I know it's a little lazy, but it saves a lot of time. I've just been saying they need pass catchers. They need guys who will catch the football. That might be a bit of an oversimplification, but again, it saves time. Although explaining this is wasting the time. And that's a whole, what is it, Archer?
Is no, there's from, the office when Kevin office, takes you, yes. out prepositions and whatnot.
Yes. So anyway, they need two pass catchers, however they get them. So whether that's drafting two, whether that's drafting one and trading for one, AJ Green, I haven't heard anything different on AJ Green since Evan Lazar broke that story last month about, you know, the Bengals are trying to extend him. If they can't, they'll trade him. But I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I haven't ruled it out yet. I know there was a report that Nelson Agholor is being shopped. I think that was last night that came out. He'd be a very interesting fit for them if they can go get him. So, no, I'm not ruling it out at all. I don't know that it's tonight. I think it's going to be like the Randy Moss situation where they're going to go get a guy whose value is pretty low, and they're going to go try to get him with like a fourth-round pick. I don't think they're trading, unless it's Rosen or, you know, some player that comes out of absolutely nowhere. Any of the guys they could realistically go get, I don't think they're trading the 32nd pick for. I think that's something that happens tomorrow, maybe even on day three. I just think tonight, unless there's a massive run on quarterbacks or tight ends, I could see them kind of jumping up and taking Will Greer a little earlier than he's supposed to go at 32. Or, you know, if Hawkinson and Fant are going to be off the board, but if Sternberger or Smith also goes, and it's after those four, it's a massive, massive drop off. So I think that if three of those guys are gone, they'll take the fourth at 32 to make sure they get in on that upper echelon tight end class. But if both tight ends are still there, if they feel like they can get Greer in the second or third round, if people aren't jumping at quarterbacks, I think they trade down. I do. The only chance they trade up maybe is if there's a run at defensive line, but I just don't see them trading up. This isn't the kind of pick structure they usually have when they trade up.
Yeah, and if they do trade up for a quarterback or any position, I think you got to be confident in that because it's not what the Patriots usually do. And you got to think that whoever's available at that pick, they have valued very high.
Right.
I think the Patriots, for some reason, Pats fans give them flack for not being great at drafting, which is not the case. If you follow the team, I think they're exceptional at evaluating talent. You know, maybe once in a while there's a bust. Obviously they haven't been great at drafting cornerbacks, but overall, they are the best at evaluating talent in the NFL by a mile. And you can see that just from the fact that
In every position, though. Like, they have had their struggles at positions they're going to need to draft this year.
Cornerback, wide receiver. Yeah, for sure. But defensive line, linebacker core, offensive line, and tight ends, and even running backs, we'll add that to the mix, and safeties. They've been pretty damn good. It's only two positions they've been, you know, pretty poor drafting at. They haven't been great at evaluating that talent. Fortunately, one of those is a necessity this time around. And that's why I think potentially they could go via the trade market to get that wide receiver.
I think they rather would. It's just a question of it. Belichick's not going to force a trade. He's not going to say, oh, I need a wide receiver. They're only going to do that if the right guy's there. And we'll see. The nice thing about this receiver class, people can talk all they want about DJ Metcalf. I think he's overblown. I think he's going to be a bust. All of those guys who test through the roof at the combine end up sucking. And those are the guys.
Made 1.6% body fat.
And Paulo Sandoval had 7%. Those are the kind of guys the Patriots always end up drafting. The guys with the smaller college numbers who put up freak measurements at the combine at their pro day. That's who Aaron Dobson was. That's who Chad Jackson was. So there are certainly those guys in this draft, right? A guy like Paris Campbell comes to mind. But I'm wondering if they change their philosophy this year, if they've learned their lesson and they go for the guys who are, you know, a little higher football IQ, bigger college numbers, maybe not the best at the combine. I want to see that. And those guys are there too. There's a wide variety of types of wide receivers in this draft. And I want to see them go get the high IQ wide receiver. There's a few names out there. Kind of depends on where you look. I know J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a guy a lot of people like. You know, I wouldn't hate that pick. I think that might be honestly a little too early for them for wide receiver. I think they have some bigger needs. But, you know, even a guy like that, I think would be a good pick for them. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach it. And some of it, too, should tie into if they invest heavily in a quarterback, if quarterback is a day one or day two pick, get a wide receiver who works with that kind of quarterback. It's going to be your main battery. you know, who knows, in 3 years, 4 years, maybe sooner than that. So don't go out and draft Will Grier and get a receiver who struggles with the deep ball. Don't go out and draft, you know, I wouldn't want them to die. I'm kind of hoping they don't take this guy, but don't go out and draft Brett Ripon and get a receiver who can't run routes well. Try to match that. If they do that, that would be a really encouraging sign for me. If they can match a quarterback and wide receiver pick, and then I'd like to see them bring in a tight end too. I'm already ruling out Fanton Hawkinson. I know, you know, there's one reporter out there calling for them to trade up to 8, which for a number of reasons won't happen. We don't have time to get into it, but I like Irv Smith, honestly. I'm a Bama guy. It's well established that I will like just about any Alabama prospect, so maybe take that with a grain of salt. But I actually like Sternberger out of Texas A&M better because I think Smith's an interesting player, and it has to do more with the system than the player. On certain teams, I like Smith better. For what the Patriots do, and when you try to fill that Rob Gronkowski role, I actually think Sternberger is a better fit to do that for them. So if they can walk away, my perfect draft, walk away with Will Grier, Jay Sternberger, a high Q wide receiver, and a safety. And anything beyond that, you know, other things would be nice. A power back would be nice. A guard you can work on would be nice. But those four things, walk away with those four things, and I think they absolutely nailed the draft.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think something else that's not being talked about enough also is I think you kind of alluded to it, the void in that offensive line. Not only with Trent Brown leaving, getting paid, which is great for him. I thought he was the best left tackle in the league last year, or one of them. We have Rob Gronkowski, the void you know, that he's left, and Dwayne Allen, for that matter, two very good blocking tight ends. So if you can get a tight end that can help with the run game on top of that, that'd be great. You're not going to completely fill that void. And, you know, you got to be optimistic with all the picks the Pats have going into this draft. You have to be optimistic the fact that they're coming off of the Super Bowl season. But they're going to take a down step this year. That's for sure. At least on paper, they're worse going into this season than they were last year. And whatever they do in this draft, it's not going to be enough to get them over that hump, get them over what they were last season. Still exciting. Very exciting. I can't remember the last time they had this many high draft picks. So the possibilities are kind of endless. And if there's anything we've learned about Bill Belichick and the Patriots over the years, it's that they are unpredictable. So everything we said, we could be wrong on all of it, but I guess we're just going to wait.
I came out swinging saying the guy who's been the consensus number one for months isn't going to be the number one, but actually Jordan Schultz, who, NBA and NFL reporter for ESPN. He co-hosts CJ McCollum's podcast. He just tweeted out, this is just a couple minutes ago, that he talked to a former NFL executive who said Kyler Murray is the third best quarterback, not player, quarterback in this draft. So I just retweeted that. I feel a little vindicated in that.
By the way, did you see that Dan Snyder is taking over the first round for Redskins?
Well, somebody yesterday tweeted, one NFL reporter tweeted yesterday mistakenly, that the Redskins were looking to trade up tonight, as in Wednesday night. And it was obviously a typo, but with Dan Snyder, you never know. You know, I would not be surprised if Dan Snyder tried to trade up in the draft last night.
Well, the big thing is the last time he did that was when they traded two first round picks right to move up to get RG3. We all know how that worked.
Look, it's an NFC East thing. How many times has Jerry Jones sunk the Cowboys by making bad decisions? Owners should not be involved in the draft. They really shouldn't, because they're there for the business side of, you know, with some exceptions. Obviously, if you have a former player, a guy who came up, you know, Al Davis as an owner. Well, Al Davis shouldn't have been involved in the draft to begin with because he's Al Davis, but you know what I mean.
Towards the end of his career, he wasn't bad in the beginning. He just kept going like, I like speed.
They didn't pay scout. The Raiders always had far and away the smallest scouting budget in the NFL, and that's why all of their drafts are based so heavily off combine numbers.
Yeah.
Because that was their scouting. They didn't watch tape. They didn't do any of that. They just looked at the combine. That there's actually a reasoning behind Al Davis always taking the fastest guy, believe it or not. I was fascinated when I went. The Bengals, too, are another team. Then they ended up taking John Ross last year, remember. They do not spend a lot of money on scouting. So when you do that, you have to rely more on things like the combine and pro days, for what it's worth.
Which, you know, if you ask most people who are involved with the NFL, they'll say the combine's the most overrated event, you know, in sports.
Right.
I enjoy watching it because I have issues, but it's still not, you know, a good indication of what a player might become.
Absolutely. Usually. And I mean, like we said with the Patriots, they always draft these wide receivers that, that jump out the gym at the combine, and then you get nothing out of it.
Yeah, and I mean they did it a few years back with that kid from Florida, who was he was an All-American track star on top of being a great special teams player, and he didn't pan out. I forget what that guy's name was, but or maybe that was undrafted. But you know, once in a while, it were like Chris Johnson. He was fast. I mean, he ended up having a good career.
Look, there's a reason people put stock in it originally. It's not that it never works, but before we get to the final thoughts, any final thoughts on the draft tonight?
No,
in general, all seven rounds.
Yeah, I just think it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen. I'm just looking at what the Patriots do in that first round. Obviously, Josh Rosen's the name that's been floated around. For the draft overall, I'm just looking at whether or not they get a quarterback. And if they don't, I think that just means they weren't high on anybody coming into this year. They're not a team to force picks.
Right.
That includes, you know, adding Josh Rosen, which is definitely a possibility. So we'll see. It's going to be exciting. It's always an exciting time of year, and Patriots will probably trade down.
Yeah, probably. I just want this on the record. If the Patriots, the quarterbacks I really want, Drew Lock, Will Greer for the Patriots. Those are my top two. There's other guys I could live with. I mean, obviously, I'd love Haskins. I don't think they have a shot at him. Realistically, the two guys I like for the Patriots are Greer and Lock, and even Lock's a bit of a stretch. I want nothing to do with Daniel Jones. I want absolutely nothing. No NFL team should want anything to do with Daniel Jones. He strikes me as just the popular comparison is Alex Smith, which I don't see at all. To me, he's Ryan Tannehill. Almost to a T. I think he ends up as Ryan Tannehill. Look, will he be serviceable? Yeah, borderline, but he's not going to go out and win you any games. It's going to be frustrating to watch. I could not be further out on Daniel Jones, and I just want that on the record. All right, final thought. Lebowitz, go ahead.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., that is yeah. He was called up. He'll be making his MLB debut tomorrow, Friday, April 26th. It's exciting. This guy, he was tearing it up in the minors. I saw his numbers compared to his father's, obviously Vladimir Guerrero Sr., about a week ago they were posted. And up until that point in his minor league career, they're pretty much identical, which is awesome. And we had this discussion. You brought this point up, and I didn't make this connection. This is like the first offspring of an athlete we grew up watching getting into professional sports.
At least like notable. That there might be one or two that we're just not thinking of. Actually, Delino DeShields Jr.,
okay.
I'll correct myself, but like it's different.
Yeah, I don't think it's close to the same.
Right. Delino DeShields wasn't, you know, a huge name, and Delino DeShields Jr., good player. He's not, you know, Vlad Guerrero. They're not Vlad Guerrero and Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, I think like this has the potential to be like a Prince and Cecil Fielder type of father son combo, Ken Griffey Jr. and Senior type combo. Which is exciting to watch. I think there's always that added thing. It brings some nostalgia when you have a guy who's kind of a carbon copy of his father come out and play. Again, Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder, they both finished with the same amount of home runs in their career, which I thought is
awesome.
Kind of cool.
That's so
and
cool.
I think Vlad Guerrero Jr., only 20 years old, but hopefully he has a similar impact that his father did. I think it's also really cool that he's playing for Toronto, a Canadian team.
Yeah.
When, you know, I'm pretty sure
Vlad even tweeted that last night, Vlad Sr.
His
message, it was something along the lines of like the country you saw as a kid now gets to see you as an adult or something like that. Yeah. No, it's very, and I mean, you go back to the game last year, the spring training game they played in Montreal where he hit that walk-off home run, like Canada's going to fall in love with this kid, which maybe they don't deserve it after, you know, all those Maple Leaf fans threatening to kill Jake DeBrusque. Sending him death threats.
But, I didn't see that.
Yeah, Touch and Rich, boy, they had him on this morning. He was talking about that. So, you know, stay classy. Stay classy, Toronto, really.
Well,
good job supporting Nazem Kadri. High-class fan. One of the dumbest fan bases in sports.
Yeah,
I might turn this into my final thought. I was going to talk about the improper Bostonian shutting down, which sucks, and all the institutions in this town are going away. The Greenbrier closed. If it wasn't for the titles, I wouldn't recognize the city anymore. But no, I'm going to turn into this. Toronto, you effing suck. You threatened to kill a guy because one of your players threatened to kill him? Maybe don't support Nazem Kadri, the guy who gets knocked out by his suspension in the first round every single year. Look, there's some dumb fan bases out there who are dumb for different reasons. Bills fans are dumb because they get their hopes up every single year, and that never, ever, ever works.
Yeah, screw Buffalo.
Marlins fans are dumb because why? Why are you rooting for that team? You could root for any other team. Right, well, the five of them that are, right? You have the Tampa Bay Lightning fan, whatever he or she is doing today. Dumb choice.
Cowboys.
Your team always chokes. But in terms of Cowboys, they were good at one point. Older Cowboys fans, fine. Younger Cowboys.
Well, no,
fans,
the people who live in Florida and
anybody who's a fan of a team that's not from where they're from, with the exception of like people who don't have a team, right?
Or
like
people whose parents root for a different team,
right? No, like if you're from, but I'm saying like if you're from Pittsburgh, I don't care who you root for in basketball. Should probably be the Sixers, I guess. But, Pittsburgh doesn't. If you're from Idaho, I don't care what team you root for at all.
If you're in Pittsburgh, you're not rooting. You hate the Sixers.
Oh, that's
because you hate everything Philadelphia.
Right.
You're probably rooting for the Cavaliers.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually makes more sense. But you get my point, right?
Yeah.
But the dumbest fan base in terms of just how tone deaf and how sensitive they are, Montreal and Toronto. Just draw a line right through them. It's 1A and 1B. From calling 911 on Zdeno Chara for threatening to kill Jake DeBrusk because your player almost took his head off. Idiots. Absolute idiots.
Oh, I have no problem crapping on not only the city of Toronto, but the country of Canada. I think they're all pansies. No, they're not all pansies. I don't want to generalize like that. But, it's kind of
no,
silly.
But like Calgary Flames fans, like I know their team lost, but they seem pretty intense. They seem pretty into it. Edmonton has a great environment.
Well, there's
right?
nothing
Winnipeg
else to do up there.
Does. You don't ever hear stories about those teams doing any of this bull crap. No, it's Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah,
every time.
Well, Montreal, I mean, I don't know. Quebec in general, it's just, it's France for poor people. That's
it's not Canada. Don't they, not want to be a part of Canada? Don't
Quebec
they want to
did.
Be their own country?
They, there was an effort a couple decades ago in which they tried to defect from Canada.
Idiots. They can't even handle being a part of Canada, which, objectively, is not a bad country.
It's all right. No, it's good. It's better than most. I'll say that.
I mean,
that.
It would be a lot better if you took out Toronto and Montreal.
I just don't understand why, there's one province that that speaks French. And there's we're just going to speak French over here. Like, what's your deal? Like, you have the entire countries in unison. Like, okay, this is going to be – we're going to speak English. This is our language. Not to make this, turn this into, this is America. That's
right,
saying.
We're kind of walking a fine line.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I want to make it clear. That's not what I'm saying
right,
at all.
No,
what I'm crapping on is the fact that they are so miserable. They're like, no, we're going to do it differently. We're doing this instead.
It would be if the official language of Kansas was German.
Yes. What are you trying to prove, guys? And also they're booing they're just making noise during the U.S. national anthem. And that just bothers me that it's classless. I just think Toronto people can be complete schmucks sometimes. Canadians are supposed to be polite. Their fans are not at all.
There's a Drake curse. Bieber lost when he was in the building. These are Toronto fans. Drake and Justin Bieber. So dumbass fan base.
I'm sticking to my
dumbass fan base. And good for Jake DeBrusk for taking the high road. And, obviously, and his family too, by the way, got death threats as well. Not just him. So,
yeah, too bad.
Obviously.
Crazy and those people are not, representative of the entire group.
Well, he said he got a lot.
Okay,
it was
maybe
more than one.
They all suck then. I changed my mind.
He said it was too many to count, I think, is why he didn't report
Jesus.
It.
So
let me find the exact wording.
I'm going to stick to my main point. Quebec, in general, is France for poor people. They all stink. And, that's about it. Maybe I might go there. Montreal seems like an all right city. Toronto seems like an all right city, too.
To
it's
Montreal,
just the people in it.
Cool city. I mean, the Olympic Stadium is awesome. But too many to count was the exact quote from DeBrusk this morning.
Jesus.
On Touch and Rich 98.5 The Sports Hub. So we'll close it on that note. Everybody enjoy the draft tonight. We will be back Saturday or Sunday, probably Sunday, odds are, with Celtics series preview. I'm looking forward to it. We got real, the Pacers blow. Not take anything away from the Celtics, and we'll get into this more on Sunday, but the Pacers blow. We're going to get some real basketball this week. We're going to get real competitive basketball, which is going to be fun.
We're going to see if the Celtics are for real or not.
Yeah, we're going to, they flipped the switch. If it's a dimmer switch, they just sort of dimmed it from off to very barely lit. Now we will see if they can really flip the switch. But we'll get into that on Sunday. To get that episode as soon as it's out, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Calling the Podcast, and the episode will be posted online as well at clnsmedia.com. Just click the podcast tab on the top, and then click on the Calling It show logo. That's the blue and white microphone. All right, for Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. This has been Calling It. Talk to you next time.